Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next half hour of the program, Dr. James Lamb of Lutherans for Life will be our guest. We'll be answering a big question. Is abortion just another political issue, like all the other political issues that we're hearing about so much during this presidential season? Then in the second hour of the program, we'll spend some time talking with Pastor Marcus Zill. There's a new survey on the religious beliefs and practices of college students and get his perspective. He has spent a lot of time as a campus pastor dealing with young people and their religious beliefs. Dr. Richard Stuckwish joins us after that in hour two. The church remembers Ignatius of Antioch, very early church bishop and martyr. We'll talk about him. And the church also remembers Luke the Evangelist or Luke the Physician. We can think of him in two different ways there. Dr. Peter Scare will tell us what we need to know about Luke and what the church ought to remember in these gray and latter days about the great evangelist Luke. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa. He's author of an article in the latest issue of LifeDate newsletter titled Political Diversity and Biblical Unity. Dr. Lamb, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be back with you.
How do you respond to a fellow Christian who says, look, this time around, Dr. Lamb, the economy has got to be the big issue for me. It's going to have to trump all my other concerns, perhaps even including life and abortion.
I would say certainly that the economy is a huge issue. We know that. It's on everybody's mind. People are talking about it and what we're going to do about it. But it can never be a big, there can never be another issue that would trump the issue of abortion in this country for the Christian. It kind of bothers me. I admit I get a little angry and sad when I hear Christians, you know, really raising their voice about the economy and voicing opinions about it. And it's getting kind of personal for people, you know, somebody I sit next to in the pew is being affected and so on. And yet, you know, there are 3,200 abortions every day, little children being murdered in horrible ways, and we're silent about that. We don't seem to be talking about that. It's been going on for so long. Abortion is something that murders children, it harms women, it degrades humanity, and therefore it's something that assaults the Lord of life. And for the Christian, that needs to be not just a major issue, but an overriding issue.
So can you make the distinction for us, Dr. Lamb, between what Christians can disagree on in terms of their politics, although, of course, abortion isn't a purely political issue, but what Christians can disagree on and where they cannot disagree, as in the case, of you, as you've said, of abortion?
Sure. That's the approach of the article that I wrote, is that there are certain things where we can have be united over a biblical imperative, but still have diversity in terms of how we think that should be carried out. I give several examples in the article to try to make that clear. Let me just cite a couple of those. We can look at Romans 12, where Paul says, if possible, so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all. And we can say, well, there's a biblical imperative here. We're to strive as much as possible to live peaceably. We might, as Christians, then differ in how we think we can achieve peace and how we should approach that in our political strategy. Another example is, you know, we're instructed in Scripture to care for the poor and the vulnerable, to take care of orphans and widows. again, we have freedom as Christians as to how we think the best way might be to do that and to carry that out in the civil realm.
So, go ahead. Well, okay, so you're talking here about I think what the Roman Catholics usually call abortion being an intrinsic evil and of a different caliber than all of the other concerns that a Christian might have in the political realm, because it involves the intrinsic dignity and worth of human life. Is that what you're saying here? Is that the real basis for making this distinction?
Yes, because you cannot say Christians can have differing views on abortion and base that on some biblical truth. You know, like to love our neighbor. I mean, so we're loving the pregnant teenager, and so she has to have a choice of abortion, or to base it on Christian freedom that we have the freedom to choose. No, Christians do not have the freedom to choose abortion. It is an intrinsic evil, as you were saying. It is a fundamental wrong. And so Christians are compelled, because of that, to uphold the sanctity of human life in any way that they can.
How do you respond to someone who says, well, if Christians are informed by Scripture, their holy book, on the moral evil of abortion, that makes this belief, a religious belief, an article of faith, if you will. And in our political system, we simply do not impose religious beliefs legislatively or articles of faith legislatively on one another. You can hold that opinion privately in your church, fine, but don't try to impose it on the rest of us.
Well, Christians are, as I said, they're compelled to hold this, and they are also compelled to be lights in this world and to influence our society, because abortion is not only a great evil, a sin against God, but because of that, it is something bad for our society. It's morally wrong. And so Christians are compelled to make a difference in society. And this is one issue that we need to speak loudly in opposition of, because of its very nature, because of what it does to our God, how it insults Him, and what it does to a society that thinks the best way to solve our problems is to turn to death as a solution. The best way to help a pregnant teen is to encourage her and pay for an abortion. There are better ways to do that, to help.
We've been hearing in the last several years, Dr. Lamb, from some rather prominent voices in evangelicalism who have been saying, look, abortion is an issue that Christians need to grapple with, other issues that are there in the Bible too, but we need to maintain a balance. We need to balance it with other concerns like the environment, poverty, and all of these things. We still oppose abortion, but we want to balance it with all these other biblical issues that we find there in Scripture as well. Does that sound like something that can be achieved? And do you think it's a realistic way of looking at the abortion issue among all the others?
No, I don't, because, again, this issue overrides those other issues. The focus of this article is that there are differing ways Christians can deal with those. We can have different opinions on those. But there is only one proper opinion when it comes to abortion, and that is we need to do everything we can to bring this to a halt in our country.
Does that mean that the Christian is a single-issue voter when abortion is in play?
It means I talk about abortion as being a disqualifying issue. If someone is in favor of the right to murder our children and to do so very cruelly, then it simply disqualifies them from my vote, regardless of where they might stand on other issues.
What if it's a choice between two candidates, whatever level of government we're talking about, who are both pro-choice, and the voter has those two and only those two to choose from, with only a minute free response before our break?
Well, then I think that a Christian can decide in those situations not to vote according to his conscience or to write in someone. There's always that option. But they must obey their conscience, which is informed by God's word of life.
We're talking with Dr. James Lamb of Lutherans for Life, answering the question, is abortion just another political issue? When we come back from the break, it was a popular way of looking at things, and you'll often hear pro-choice Christians say something like this: we are opposed to abortion. We're as opposed to abortion as anyone who calls themselves pro-life. In fact, we are pro-life. We just think there's a different way of dealing with the abortion issue than simply trying to do something like overturn Roe v. Wade or regulate abortion to make it difficult or rare. We think there's a better way of doing it. We think that we can legislatively come to the same end by a different means. We'll see what Dr. Lamb has to say about that on the other side of this break. He is executive director of Lutherans for Life based in Nevada, Iowa, and author of an article in the latest issue of LifeDate newsletter titled Political Diversity and Biblical Unity. We'll also talk a bit about that biblical unity when we come back. After our conversation concludes in about 10 minutes with Dr. James Lamb, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Pastor Marcus Zill will join us from Higher Things Christ on Campus. We'll talk about that new survey of the religious beliefs and practices of college students. Very interesting stuff. And not what we've been given to believe by years and years and years of youth ministry. Perhaps, in fact, it's been the result of years and years and years of the kind of youth ministry we've had. Dr. Richard Stockwish will join us after that to talk about Ignatius of Antioch. And then we'll remember with the rest of the church, Luke the Evangelist with Dr. Peter Scare. Stay tuned.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. John Rands, William Reeves, Pastor Michael Wenzel, Ellen Hooker, Nabil Neuer, Jay McQueen, Kathy Sandor, Kirby Wilbur, Heidi Marley, and Doris Purdy. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Will Wheaton on the Treasury of Daily Prayer.
All I can say is prepare to be blown away. It's something I've never seen in the whole of Lutheran liturgical history. It's a complete daily office book and so much more, and it's in a single volume.
Order an advance copy of the Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or look for the cover at our website, issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hello, I'm Dr. Wanda Franz, president of National Right to Life. As a mother of three and a developmental psychologist, I know that adolescents need their parents' guidance in making wise decisions. Yet pro-abortion advocates insist that parents do not have the right to be involved in their minor daughter's abortion decision. We at National Right to Life need your help. Visit our website at www.nrlc.org. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Dr. James Lamb is our guest for the remainder of this first hour. Is abortion just another political issue? We're answering that question. Dr. Lam, it was probably several decades ago that we heard from, I think in this case, usually Roman Catholic politicians who were saying, look, I'm in favor of Roe and I'm against abortion, but I think there's a, unlike people who call themselves pro-life, I think there's a different path to getting to the end of abortion that doesn't necessarily involve opposing Roe or giving up on a woman's right to choose. How do we respond to this?
Well, we need to understand that we need to do, as Christians, everything that we can to bring an end to abortion. We need to be active in the public square. We need to vote for pro-life candidates. We need to lobby our leaders to vote for pro-life legislation, because we know that when parental consent laws and so on are passed, that abortions go down. These things need to be done. But we cannot put our whole trust in the government to bring an end to abortion. We need to be a voice in the church. And that's where Lutherans for Life, that's where our focus is, as you know, Todd. We try to help God's people, Christians, understand what he has to say about these issues. And I believe that until we change more and more people's hearts in this country, that we're not going to be changing our culture in this country. And so our focus is to help people understand that we have this powerful good news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like to call it the most powerful and positive pro-life message on the universe. And that's what we strive to share within the church, to help change hearts and minds within the church. And then people, Christian people with changed hearts and minds, will bring an end to abortion in this country. But we've got a long way to go in bringing that kind of change.
In that vein, we were talking recently with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, who had written about what he called collective shame. And he drew a parallel between his own experience as a native German and the collective shame of the German people over the Holocaust under Nazism. And what he believes will be a future situation for Americans, and really many Western nations, that have permitted abortion on demand and failed to recognize when the time was ripe to do so, that this was, in fact, another kind of Holocaust. Do you concur with him?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. This is a Holocaust going on, and we in the church, so many, have been silent as it's going on, ignoring it as if it doesn't exist. And there's just such a lack of knowledge out there in terms of what abortion is and what it does, the atrocity of it, how it affects women and men who are involved in it. And we just need to continue to educate on the facts and what's going on, and we need to continue to educate in the church about the God-given sanctity of human life and how the gospel speaks to these issues.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because we've had many conversations where you have drawn a direct connection between the fact that Jesus Christ took the path to the cross and the empty tomb by way of the virgin's womb. What does the very incarnation of Christ teach us, not only about, first and foremost, our salvation, but about our neighbor in whom we should find Christ?
Christ started where we did, because our beginning, our conception, as Scripture tells us, was sinful. We were sinful human beings from the moment of conception. And so Jesus started there. The path to the cross started in Mary's womb, in Mary's fallopian tube. And that fact gives tremendous value, you see, to every embryo ever in a fallopian tube or in a petri dish or frozen somewhere. the fact that our Savior became an embryo gives tremendous value to each and every embryo, each and every unborn baby. And therefore, they become our neighbors. That unborn child is our neighbor, whom we are to love as we love ourselves. They become one of those least of these that we are to love because they are Jesus for us when we love them. And so we have this great message of compassion to our neighbor. The gospel, it doesn't trivialize human struggles. It doesn't trivialize the struggles of women and problem pregnancies or difficult situations at the end of life. The gospel speaks to them. It's a message about a God who's defeated death and who brings real love and real compassion and real neighborliness to bear in dealing with human struggles. So we've got the message that speaks to these issues, and we've got the message that moves us to act in regard to these issues as well.
Is it really that simple? I mean, people talk about how we ought to consider the unborn, massive cells, human person, all of this parsing that we do of these various definitions. But it sounds like you're saying, really, it's just a matter of regarding the unborn as your neighbor or not.
Yes, it is that. It is that simple, that they are our neighbors, and they are particularly neighbors who are very vulnerable and very, very much in need. Neighbors who are in danger. The most dangerous place to live in this country is a womb. And so they especially need Christian love and Christian compassion. And there is no way you can translate that into the terrible act of abortion. Christian love and Christian compassion reaches out and loves those babies and loves the moms that are carrying them and helps not only make a decision of continued life, but supports them in that decision. And there are just thousands and thousands of Christians all across this country in pregnancy centers doing that very kind of thing. And that's what we need to promote. That's what we need to help fellow Christians understand, that we have the message and we have the true compassion that this issue demands.
Then with only about a minute here, Dr. Lamb, we've talked about the Christian, that their vocation leads them to love their neighbor, even in the polling place, even in the ballot box. What should the church, as the body of Christ, the corporate church, have to say on this issue? How should it articulate it with only a minute before we close up?
Well, we need to state our position very clearly, that we believe life is a gift from God, that He's the author and creator of life. We believe that God is the redeemer of life. And those two things, God giving life, creating life, and God purchasing life through the blood of His Son, give intrinsic value to each and every human life. That's the message that the church has. And the abortion issue gives God's people opportunity to share that message as they oppose this great evil.
Folks, go to our website this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click on demand, and you'll find a link to Lutherans for Life, or you can get their free Life Date newsletter by calling them toll-free, 1-888-364-LIFE, 1-888-364-LIFE. Dr. James Lamb is Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, based in Nevada, Iowa, author of an article in the latest issue of the Life Date newsletter titled Political Diversity and Biblical Unity. Dr. Lamb, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Folks, here's another way you can help us defend life from beginning to end here on Issues Etc. You can help your congregation join the Issues Etc. 300. What is it? It's a group of 300 congregations that pledge $1,000 in their annual budget, either their mission or advertising budget, or whatever line item they want to put it in support of Issues Etc. These 300 congregations make up the Issues Etc. 300. Now, you can find out how your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300, how you can make the case to your pastor and your various boards for the Issues Etc. 300 and their support of the ongoing defense of life from beginning to end that is Issues Etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the sponsors page, and there you're going to find a flyer that you can print out. It's all ready for you, and it not only makes the case, but explains everything that you and your congregation need to know about supporting Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300, issuesetc.org. Click sponsors. Monday on the program, we're going to be talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, in fact, beginning a five-part daily series with him on answering the objections of unbelievers. That's Monday on the program. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., we'll talk about a new survey of the religious beliefs and practices of college students. Pastor Marcus Zill will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.